This is a HeadGum Podcast.
For over 100 years, Tryco has been the leader in innovation and ingenuity for everything wiper blades. Tryco was the first to mass produce wiper blades, and they have received numerous awards from vehicle manufacturers who trust Tryco to put the best product on their vehicles. One of their products, the Tryco Neoform, is designed to match your vehicle's exact connection. That means no more guessing, no more hassle, and no more confusion while installing your wiper blades. Not only are they easy to install, but they are high-quality beam blades built to beat any type of weather. Tryco Ultra Wiper Blades are American-made, premium beam wiper blades that shine in any weather. These wiper blades also feature a unique design that converts wind force into extra pressure, allowing for maximum windshield contact. Go to wipers123.com and use promo code MIGHTY at checkout and receive $10 off your next order of $40 or more. That's wipers123.com and use promo code MIGHTY at checkout and receive $10 off your next order of $40 or more. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, the number one ruining your work from home neighbor fuckboy, Johnny G.
All you gotta do is trust me.
Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Oh, he's tired. He's rapidly aging. It's depressing to be here for every single day of that. I'm talking about my dog for people who don't know that or maybe tuning in for the first time and are wondering if my brother is rapidly aging and dying. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios, one of us returning, two fresh guests. You know them, you love them. They're the hosts of the Who Shot You Pod. We got Drea Clark, Iffy Wadaway, and Alonzo Duralde.
Hey, how's it going? Also, I'm just going to point this out for the listeners at home. You pointed towards your dog, but there was no dog on camera. Is your dog not in the room?
Nah, he's not in the room. It's just a habit. He usually is because he licks the lotion off the guest's legs and shit. But if they're wearing shorts and not ashy, my dog will lick your legs. And he's gone because my wife works from home now, and he's a mama's boy, so he sits at the foot of her desk all day.
I couldn't give a fuck about me. I appreciate the explanation of what Arthur was, because I've listened to several of these, never understood, and was like, is this a bit? Do we pretend he's got a guy in the closet? I'll go along with it.
Drea, I had to start telling people because people had the same thing. They thought like I had like a producer named Arthur who sat quiet the entire show and never spoke to anyone, and they just assumed I'm such a fucking steamroller that of course this guy would never get a word in or whatever. And I'm like, I had to come out and be like, he's a Boston Terrier. He's been like, I realize, and also he hasn't been in since I started Zooming. He hasn't been in the room. I guess I maybe have to work on my intro. It's been adapted. I'll ask new
pretend
layers.
He's near you.
He's definitely presumably near me.
It's radio. It can be anything you want.
I'm living that apartment life. My dog is not in the room, but he's 9 feet away. And my wife is 11 feet away.
Exactly.
Yay! And we make six figures and live like this. Welcome to Los Angeles.
It's the dream.
Speaking of Los Angeles, that's where they make movies. And it is I Miss Movies Month here on High and Mighty because I miss movies. So keeping the pattern of the most self-indulgent podcast of all time, I decided to invite my friends who know about movies and talk about movies for a living to come on my podcast and talk to me about movies for free. It's a ripoff for them and it works out great for me. So I'm so happy to have the host of Who Shot You here to talk about. Today is Christmas Eve when this episode is released. Ooh. And we will be talking about holiday movies, which is we all have varying degrees. We do have our Jedi Master Yoda Alonzo here.
Yeah, I just to say for people who don't know, Alonzo is, as if he calls him, the Christmas Zaddy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Has literally written a book called Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas.
Yeah, so all my Christmas stands, get that book.
So when this theme came up, Iffy and I are like, like, well, I mean, we probably know more than like your average bear, but Alonzo is not your average bear. Cha 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 cha.
Well, the secret of things is if you become an expert in a thing that nobody else wanted to be the expert in, then you are no one's going to challenge you on that topic.
Yeah, no one's better than me at lighting my pubes on fire.
For instance.
No one wants to try to top me. It's for flair only. There's not like distance or anything or time. The competition is style
it's
only.
It's the spectacle.
But it means so much to so many people. And like, I think we're coming up on the time. It's December 1st that we're recording this. So we're coming up on the time where everyone's going to be tweeting about Die Hard and Gremlins and all these Christmas adjacent movies. And every channel, every streamer is putting out, you know, 1,000 DVDs with or 1,000 movies with red backgrounds with a beautiful white couple kissing or standing in front of a sleigh or whatever. It's time for 1,000 of those movies to drop. But I want to talk about holiday movies because Drea, you're like you said, you're not that much of a Christmas movie.
Again, mine's in comparison with Alonzo.
Right.
I'm decent. I mean, like, I'm a film professional.
Right, exactly.
Please.
Like, when you said that, I was like, I feel like we could fake it. We might not even ever get to a Christmas movie.
My best. Your reaction, I said something about how I just only like to rewatch Christmas in Connecticut, and you didn't even know what that was, so I figured I was going to be okay.
Yeah. Oh, if your bar is like you're worried about being uninformed, this is like the goal of this host. By doing that obnoxious intro and being dumb, every one of my guests looks genius and like they are recording professionals.
Thank you for the pedestal.
Yes. Yes. So where do we all land on the, are we, do you watch them year round? Do you watch your movies seasonally? Because I'm a spooky movie October guy. And then yeah. I am a little bit of a holiday movie December guy, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I recently got asked like the "What's your favorite holiday?" question, and realized, you know, by series of process of elimination, really thinking of it, that I am a Christmas guy. But I just, you know, it's so funny. This is going to be a light inside baseball thing, but I think when you start out doing like comedy, there's this like this ironic disconnect you have from everything. Like, you can't take anything too seriously because then you're not a comedian. And I find that now that I'm getting older and then also just more successful in my career, so I could do whatever I want. Like, I've been more open to just really leaning into things like hiking, being a plant dad, making my own mead. And now it was Christmas. Like, I went all in. And especially, you know, I have Naomi. I have a 4-year-old who's like very expressive and like into, like, she's at the age now where she's like, oh yeah, I like, this is my jam. And I was like, okay, let me just, you know, get it started. I bought one of the 4-foot rinky dink trees. It's really looking, I'm trying my hardest to get it out of this Charlie Brown Christmas tree phase, but it's looking rough. And she walked up to it and pointed and turned around and goes, that you need to put a star on that. And I was like, okay, relax. I just got it.
Give
like
me baby steps here, baby.
Yeah. Calm down, Dad. This is a huge step for Dad. So I need you to relax. But yeah, I tried to get some. I was like, all right, I went to Target. And I was like, all right, your boy's going all out. I'm getting all the Christmas things, all the lights, all that. I'm going to get this garland. It's going to be all around my whole apartment. And then I got it.
And we can see your apartment.
This is how far it went.
For the listeners, Iffy is showing us his 8-foot garland.
That also
singular.
Is a single garland, and it's draped along the very top crevice of the ceiling.
Great place
by
the vent. Goes above the vent. Yeah.
Nobody, don't even worry about a mantle. You can just shove it right up against the ceiling. Closer to God.
I'll drop you guys some pics into the email of my current apartment look, because my wife is a decorating head and a holiday head. Nice. And this is our first Christmas in the apartment ever since we moved here 8 years ago.
Oh, right, because you probably went to family and stuff elsewhere.
We went to family all the time. Oh, yeah. And so this is our first year not doing that. So we're like, we get to create our Christmas traditions this year, which is a very exciting thing.
Ooh.
And movies will be an integral part of that, as movies have been an integral part of our relationship.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to, like, we're picking a couple of Christmas movies. We might do There's talk that we might just watch The Godfather 1, 2, and 3 on Christmas Eve and do The Seven Fishes, but we're, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the air right now. But
yeah. I've also, like, because I live by myself, so I'm also not going to be with family this year because, you know, 2020. But I've centered my Christmas plans around movies, except for they're about releases, because I'm planning to watch Wonder Woman 1984 and Pixar's Soul. Neither of which are holiday movies.
but they're dropping Christmas Day, dang it.
Yeah. Like we're gonna make this work.
I'll still end up with a good old Christmas in Connecticut, which is a Barbara Stanwyck film that I'm not joking about. It's a classic.
I didn't think you were joking. I believe that existed.
Well, like I picked the most pedestrian sounding film name.
I know.
And if you didn't know.
Be careful not to go with the remake, which was the only film directed by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Stop.
No way.
I forgot about that. Every time you've told me that, I immediately delete it from my brain. Like, I don't want that information in there.
It's a trauma that you can't.
Also, what a weird effing choice for him.
Yeah, it was for Cable, and it starred Diane Cannon and Chris Christopherson and Tony Curtis, and it's terrible.
No,
I thought I knew everything about Arnold. That is exciting. Well, yeah, I see. Christmas in Connecticut came out in 1945, so a little bit before my birthday.
Settle down. Well, did he just age me? Did he just try and age me?
I made you 78 years old. I thought the joke would be pretty obvious that it would have been way too long ago for you to have seen that in the theater. Well, but then I was like, oh.
This is an audio program.
People can't see us. Related to that, we did for Maximum Fun this like online fun drive thing this year, and I'm super into skincare. So Iffy and Alonzo nicely went along, and I like talked them through my routine. And I made a joke at one point about like, well, obviously it works for me because I'm 57 or something. Or 63. I said something to me absurdly old. And there was a chat thread. And in the thread, someone was like, she does look really good for 57. Damn it. What?
Never open that door.
No. Yeah.
It's like running with a weighted vest on and not telling anyone. People are like, he's not, you know, like, that's pretty fast for a 400 pounder. It's like, I'll take the compliment, but I, like, that's when you tell your people your real age and they go, oh. Okay, yeah, never mind. And you're like, oh, no, I don't want to hear that. Gamers, you look great for 48. I'm 38. Oh, well, then, fuck, man. Get your shit together.
Yeah. Like,
no!
Oh. Also, seasonally, back to your first question of, I don't watch them year-round, the Christmas movies. I know they're available year-round now. But I think one of the reasons is not just the season, but, like, I'm from Minnesota originally, so generally Christmas and winter is white and freezing and like my soul. And and my exterior, I'm just a white, frigid woman. And there's something about living in California for the last however many years, the absence of seasons, that like using movies is more necessary to mark the kind of year I'm in. Because certainly like the trees and sky are not doing that for me. So... yeah.
Yeah, it is like a way to see snow. Also, Christmas streets that are decorated for Christmas as production design and set deck, it just looks great.
Oh,
Shane Black
so
knows it.
They're all like, shut. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like your Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was like this. I love that because it's also in LA, so it's ridiculous.
Right, you get both.
But the one I do have a real fondness for, there's so many Canadian Christmas rom-coms, and they shoot them factory style, like through the summer, and they're just amazing. It's just this cast of people just sweating in their like beautiful pea coats with like this crumbly looking rice snow. I love it. Like if you've spent time in real snow, there's nothing funnier than watching people pretend to be cold.
Yeah, if you took Hallmark movies out of Canada, I think like the city of Vancouver would crumble into dust. I don't know what else they would have happening there, but yeah, there's definitely a difference between the movie where you can see people's breath and the ones where like no one's wearing gloves or scarves. They've just barely got the coat on because you can tell they're all just about to pass out from heat stroke.
Yeah.
We gotta shoot this in June in New Orleans for the tax breaks.
Oh my my God.
And it's like, looks like a Time to Kill. Like everyone's just dripping sweat. Yes.
And you're like, please, please don't make me wear the scarf. It's not the scarf.
I was not a Christmas movies year round person. Even like, I mean, when I wrote the book, obviously, you know, I it took me a year to sort of do the research and stuff. So, you know, that was the one time that I was sort of spending the summer with, you know, God bless us, everyone, wafting out of my window every 2 hours. I have become that person in the last couple of years just because I've found that in the current shit show cycle that we're in that began with the election and inauguration of that man, that, you know, that's my happy place. Like I don't have antidepressants. I have the Hallmark Channel. And so, yeah, so they're going to show them, you know, during the year, like every Thursday and Friday night or whatever, I will be there for it.
And I'm it'll home. Just,
exactly. And it's especially, yeah, especially this year.
Yeah, I'm here. I might as well.
And I'm not alone in that. Cause like when the original lockdown started in March, Hallmark started doing these 24-hour Christmas marathons, like for entire weekends. It's like, okay, so this is everybody's happy place. It's not just me. Like a lot of people, this is a thing to kind of flock to and look at and just let your mind go. And so, like, yeah, I find them really comforting. Doesn't matter how many times I've seen them. I have, you know, it will depend on how engaged I am with it. A lot. I've gotten very good at making it video wallpaper, but you know, boy, do I know my like. Canadian character actors so much better than I used to. Like I know who the moms are.
You know all
are.
Your the Vancouver local U5s like that. Have oh, he booked another barista role
for sure. But like, I mean, you know, because the leads are always either like former soap people or former like '90s sitcom stars. You know, because it's all part of the nostalgia thing of these.
Yeah.
But dang it, I know like my Susan Hogan moms versus my Terrell Rothery moms versus. Is my BJ Harrison's like I know these actresses now from sheer repetition.
I'm glad they deserve so that. Happy. They deserve to have a fan.
Absolutely.
You know, yes. Their name.
Oh.
Can I share before lest I forget it that when you know we decide we're gonna talk movies, we're gonna talk Christmas movies. And in the last week of my life, I read something. I'm a little obsessed with Reddit's Am I the Asshole? I've talked about it to the guys before.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great
and
one.
There was an Am I the Asshole? And it's Christmas movie related. And I have to share it because it also seems like something that would be of interest to Iffy, who has like a special set of skills. And this Am I the Asshole was a woman who was talking about how she sexually fetishizes the Grinch and wanted her boyfriend to not just like role play as the Grinch, but like this is not how I see you, Iffy, but like have like a violent role play as the Grinch. But the best part of it was not just that question was there, because, you know, it's a wide world, you know, there's a peg for every hole, as they say, but
we say every night in my house,
but it was the follow-up of, this is a common fetish. I don't know why all you guys are freaking out. Yeah, and so somebody Googled it and there truly is this like wide, and this is the iffy part of like the online research, that there are all of these markings of women, especially who sexually fetishize the Grinch.
And
did not know that, and I want other people to know that.
Do they call themselves? Are they Cindy Lou Who's in this?
I think it varies. I think they're like the fantasy.
Or is this Christine Baranski's fault from that live action movie?
Oh my God, Christine! I would like Christine Baranski as a who is more my fetish, but like I think for the Grinch women, it's they want him to sneak in their homes. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like overlapping some other common, less spoken about fetishes.
Yeah.
And
they hear that ornament rolling across the floor and they just get excited.
Yes.
I mean, not to get unpack it too much, but it is like the safest, like it's like a nullified home invasion where it's like if someone like it's the home invasion fetish without the danger of what comes along with that, because it's fucking Jim Carrey and CGI makeup or whatever, or a cartoon more likely,
and he's gonna bring it all back the next day, so
right?
His bring that back here the next day, baby. Yeah. You say to the Grinch as he's packing up and leaving, you bring that shit back here the next day, you hear me?
Yeah. Iffy, am I wrong? Do you not love when people have real quirky sexual
specific fetishes are the best.
That's my favorite thing. It is it is interesting territory when you get into like violent stuff, because like especially for me and probably like Gabrus, we're big dudes. So like if you're like, oh man, I want you to slap me, I'm like, I can't. Like I'm a big ass, you know. Like maybe you know some wafy, you know, Echo Park glasses beanie dude like can get away with that, but like this is like I'm packing heat.
Yeah. I'm never comfortable with that. Like, are you kidding? Like I like strip a screw like weekly by accident. Like I have like Lenny strength sometimes. I'm not gonna fucking. I'll put my hands near your throat.
Somewhere out there, there is a submissive who likes to tie one reindeer antler to the top of his head and get, you know, face the lash.
I used to say this thing about fetishes. Somewhere there is someone who is down for anything. List a name, a thing.
Is there a term for that?
A band you've never heard of, a band that no one has ever heard of, is someone's favorite band. One person. Yeah. Maybe it's the drummer's wife, but it's their favorite band. Like, every band is someone's favorite band.
One of my favorite captions on the internet ever was, it was some article about, like, dumb comic stuff, and it was an image of Superman and a mummy wrestling in front of a dam that was bursting, and the caption just said, because this is the internet, someone somewhere is masturbating to this.
That's the thing is called Rule 34. If it exists, there is porn of it.
Reddit is a great place to find out that your fetish isn't that weird. That's like the best thing about the internet is just I'm so uncomfortable with this. It's like, I want the Grinch to peg me, and like 400 people are like, do it. I love it. You're like, whoa. I love when you see that on Twitter too. I'm in love with Jerry from fucking Succession in the way I want her to talk to me exactly like she talks to Kieran Culkin. And I'm like, I feel crazy because I think they're playing it for comedy. And then I was like, I find this hot. Like Kevin Porter, shout him out. And all my friends were like, me too, dude. I totally get this. And I'm like, okay.
Well, that's what I feel like. Everything that used to be weird, now that we have the internet and can connect with our other weirdos, nothing's weird anymore. Because like, yeah, I'm not the only one. I'm not. You know,
so it's like that weird tribalism of like when it's positive in that it's like we all want to fuck the Grinch that we can find each other online, but also we all want to, you know, start a boogaloo. We can also find that online, unfortunately. Yeah. And it's like, let's just let the Grinch peg us a little more than trying to start new civil wars. Like, right? That's
like, spend more time getting pegged.
You heard it here. Peace talks with Gabriel.
2021 goals.
That needs to be a platform use.
I'm glad to hear what you're saying is that I have not ruined the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. In fact, I have maybe really opened some doors for a lot of people about it, not yet to appreciate it.
Exchange your AR-15 for a Grinch-shaped vibrator program.
Oh, man. That's how Drea wins her Nobel Peace Prize. Good.
You're just in Copenhagen, like, getting a medal. You're like, I read a Reddit thread and brought it up on a podcast. Look where we are now. Like, gun violence is saved. Everyone's home just getting fucking railed by the Grinch.
Yeah. I didn't expect to get here, but I didn't expect a lot of this year. So thank you. Thank you
for
my
29
prize.
And a half foot pole, if you
I
will.
Mean, if we're talking about the Grinch, has anyone seen the like new version of the Grinch for the TV musical that everyone's
with Matthew Morrison?
Yeah.
I did.
As of this recording, it has not aired yet.
I was like, I don't think it's aired yet. I did see the footage of him
on the parade
costume.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, is people seeing the costume and reacting. I was like, it felt like they were trying to make him hot, and it was like,
I think that the producers know why, and they were keyed into this.
Clearly.
Producer Drea Clark. We just learned that this is all your cause that you've been talking about. Tell me about this Reddit thread that some stranger posted.
So
just keep going on. Maybe some people saw the Michael Morrison thing, and
Gabrus thought we were here for free, but really, this is all promotion for my musical.
Buy Alonzo's book, watch my musical.
Grinch. Yes. Yes.
Plugs, baby. Literally.
Plugs.
Oh, there you go.
Save it for the plugs.
Nice. I am not confident about the musical, but then I didn't think I was going to like the cartoon version last year from Benedict Cumberbatch, so I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh, actually, you know what? The Benedict Cumberbatch, I can get where that would turn sexy. He turned sexier for me quicker than the Jim Carrey Grinch.
Oh, fair. Yeah, no, I wasn't even thinking about the Jim Carrey one.
Starting a little closer to sexy.
Look, Jim Boris Carrey's Karloff is sexier than Jim Carrey. Come on.
I would bottom for Smaug.
How dare you? I'm Jim Carrey's babe.
I'd let Smaug top me.
That would be tight.
That would be tight.
Desolate me, Smaug.
Not anymore. That would be formerly tight.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You would need my plugs before then. Yeah.
Speaking of Christmas and sexuality, crisscrossing. This one is for me. This is from the Christmas movie of my youth. I mean, there's tons, but the one that hits me the hardest and stuck with me the longest, it's my uncle's favorite movie, which is an insane sentence to say out loud, but National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That movie, I watch that every year. There's a lot of Christmas movies I watch every year, and Christmas adjacent movies I watch every year.
Yeah,
but that's a given. I watch that one at least once.
I'm gonna stop you right there, because everything you said up until you said the title of the movie, I was so sure you were about to say Eyes Wide Shut. Every piece of that sentence up until you said the title,
you
I was
have
like,
a
oh,
very
he's gonna say
view
Eyes
of
Wide
his
Shut.
Uncle.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If I introduce you to my uncle and you realize he's just a drunk mailman from Long Island. You'll have a completely different point of view.
How did sexy get us to Christmas Vacation exactly?
Okay, because
thank you.
That's fair. That's a very honest question, and I truly
read D'Angelo.
Yeah. No, well, Beverly D'Angelo, of course. Christine Brinkley, in the fantasies, of course. Beverly D'Angelo, a husky voice, busty woman. Thank you. But more importantly, and you could see the line goes all the way up. It's even just an image that's burned into my head because I watched it when I was the right age. When they're at the department store and she's demonstrating the line in her nylon, and she goes, see, the line goes all the way up. And he goes, it goes all the way up, huh, Russ? Jesus Christ, Russ, when did you get here? And that is just burned into my head of like being a kid, seeing something you're not supposed to see, but now I'm seeing a kid see something he's not supposed to. So it's like the meta version of it. And the image of a woman in stockings, which if you grew up in the 80s, was equatable to sex. Stockings were, because if you watched PG-13 movies, it was like mad hands on stockings, silk stockings, the USA show. So I've always accidentally.
That J-Lo music video that was like, oh, this is borderline pornographic.
I didn't know if we were going to get into a whole discussion of Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Margot or not. But
oh,
you know,
I love her so
you do
much.
You.
Why is the floor wet, Todd? I don't know, Margot.
Obviously, my favorite moment of that whole movie is Randy Quaid's outfit when he's wearing the dickie under the white sweater. And you just get the solid shitters full. And like, I've said that so many times out of context, and it does not play, but I will not stop saying it. Shitters full.
Saying it in context is not a situation you want to be in either. You don't want to be in a situation.
I love Clark Griswold, though, that... You know, Chevy Chase, as you know. Chevy Chase, for all of his like more recent faults, has such a unique and specific star power. And what he unlocks as Fletch and as Clark Griswold. But the other thing I always loved about Clark Griswold that was kind of rare for those was like, that was a guy who was just passionate about his family and like wanting to do right by his kids, and he loved his wife and all of the conflicts, like as much as there are like risque things in the overall series as well, you know, you get the weird like Jane Krakowski cousin who's like, daddy says I French kiss the best. No. But there's something inherently sweet about that, all of Clark's manicness is concentrated because he just wants to make things so magical for his family. And like, what a cool, I just loved that.
It's a small thing, but you're right. And the craziest thing is those two guys make that movie so heartwarming and funny, and they're now two legendary psycho
dirtbags.
Assholes.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we could do that for all our favorite movies growing up if we want. Yeah. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, look, The Ref was a Christmas go-to for me every year, but I'm just not ready for Kevin Spacey yet. Yeah. You know? But no, you're right. Like that scene where Clark's watching the old home movies in the attic, it's like, oh, in the middle of this like slapstick knockabout comedy, we're going to get this moment where the character is being explained to me, you know, and it works. It lands.
And even in his fantasies, he's like cognizant of not wanting to be an adulterer. Do you know what I mean? Or like not wanting to, I don't even want you to know that I would even think about another woman sexually. Like, what? Dude, I'm not staring at the window.
Here's TMI, but I've had that in sex dreams and it's infuriating because I know it's a dream too. And I'm like, I can't. And I'm like, yes, you totally can. Like,
she's
you can
ask
right your wife
here.
If I'm allowed to fuck in my dreams. And she would say yes. And I am not doing it.
Enjoy.
I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm married. It would be so, I would be, and I'm like, what? Sorry, Katy Perry, find your own Uber, you know?
Sorry, Katy Perry, you got dressed up like the Grinch for no reason.
Yeah, I don't know what you're gonna do with that Grinch costume, but we'll have to figure something out.
You're a mean one.
Yeah. Did you guys ever, well, they do this now, I don't know if they're still doing it, but I think TBS did for years, where they do the 24 hours of the Christmas Story.
Yeah, so yes. Still do.
I somehow never watched the Christmas Story until I'd lived in LA for a while. And then, so I saw it as an adult, and it's such a kid nostalgia movie. I mean, it's a nostalgia movie even, you know, times two, because it's set in the
it's aiming for nostalgia and now has been out long enough that it is also nostalgia.
It's like
squared. And so, but I remember watching it and the moment when the little brother, when Ralphie's little brother comes outside, again, from Minnesota, when he comes outside with like the double snowsuit and he can't walk and he can't put his arms down, crying. I was snot crying and the people around me were like, you know this plays every day. Like, why in the world? Like, no one should. I was like, this is the first time I've seen it. It was very hard to explain that has not already sunk in.
And then I watched it 23 more times.
Then I watched it every time, yeah.
I see articles.
That's a fucking classic, absolute classic, Chris. I mean, it's almost like weird. Like, we have to talk about it, but also at the same time, it's like, we get it. It's maybe the Christmas movie for like a lot of people. I get that. I mean, obviously, if they're playing it for 24 hours straight, it hits hard for some reason.
Well, that all came out of the whole thing with It's a Wonderful Life, you know, when it was in the public domain. I grew up in the 70s. I'm a skosh older than you guys. And it was wallpaper on the TV. Like every shitty, you know, like syndicated UHF channel could play It's a Wonderful Life because it was free. It would be the worst print you ever saw, but they could play it. And so in December, it was literally, you just like change channels. It was always starting somewhere. You'd always catch it midway through. And then when it got pulled and they finally like renewed the copyright and it would get shown a couple times a year, Ted Turner very smartly thought, okay, I have this Christmas movie here that did okay at the theater, but nobody ever really talks about it. I'm going to show it for 24 hours straight. And I'm going to do the It's a Wonderful Life thing where it just becomes so omnipresent that people can't not pay attention to it. And then that's how the cult of this movie was born. Because it came out in 83 and it was like, it did all right, but like nobody, it didn't set the world on fire and it didn't immediately pick up on home video either. It was those damn 24 hour screenings that made it what it is now.
Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's has teamed up with Netflix as a joke and churned up something extra special, Punchline Ice Cream. Now, it's one of those punchlines that I don't fully get because the ice cream's not that funny. It's actually serious. Seriously delicious. It's a comedic duo of brown butter bourbon and almond ice creams with roasted almonds and chuckles of cherry. And if you like jokes and ice cream, call the Punchline hotline at 1-866-PUNCHLINE to hear comedians Wanda Sykes, Fortune Feimster, and Aparna deliver hilarious one-liners to make your day. Netflix A Joke provides a home for fans of stand-up, sketch comedy, comedy series, film, and anything in between. Netflix is a joke is where Netflix goes to be funny. Grab yourself a pint of Ben & Jerry's, sit down and put on some Netflix, and have a happy holidays. Grab a pint to enjoy with your favorite Netflix comedies anywhere ice cream is sold, or find a new favorite at benjerry.com. That's benjerry.com. BenJerry.com. BenAndJerry's.com. Dig into Ben & Jerry's Punchline anywhere ice cream is sold, or find a new favorite at BenJerry.com. BenJerry.com. That's BenJerry.com. Tis the season to be cooking your food yourself at home. And I know that sounds stressful and hard for a lot of people, but HelloFresh makes it easy and stress-free. It makes it Gabrus-proof. Switch whatever word you want with Gabrus in that sentence, but it gives you an idea of how simple this is. Convenient, no-contact delivery. They drop all the stuff off at your door. Cuts out all the meal planning and grocery store trips. You know, less time in public could be safe, and you know, or at least helps benefit your lazy lifestyle. And it's cheaper. It's way easier to... Okay, and here's the most important thing. I know I'm all over the place, but the variety and the fact that you don't have to make the choice. So, like, just the idea that me and my wife, we don't have to go, like, what do you want to eat tonight? What do you want to make? Should we get blank? Should we do this? Should we do blank? And it's like, with HelloFresh, they choose, you know, it's chosen for you in a way, which right now with, like, just I'm being overwhelmed by any decision, so it's nice. And it's got a bunch of stuff in there that I wouldn't choose for myself. So it's got different delicious options every week. And it's all local sourced from growers. And when they, as much over 90% of their ingredients, they try hard for that. So it's easy and stress-free. It's delicious. The variety's all over the place. And you're no more food waste. You're not throwing out food at the end of the week. You're not like, oh, crap, all this kale went blah. I got to throw out all this kale. You're not getting all these big containers, this, that, the other thing. So it's sustainable. It's got variety, and it's easy and stress-free. Oh, and I guess I'm supposed to tell you my favorite recipe. And they're all very good, but recently I just had these Gouda burgers. They have some sort of pun name, but it's escaping me at the moment. It's the holidays. Give me a break. But I'll tell you what, that burger with Gouda, whoo. High-quality ingredients, good beef, good cheese, and the roll was surprisingly good. I loved it. Not surprisingly, but, like, it traveled well, and it was delicious. All right. Get yourself on HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/80Mighty and use code 80Mighty to get $80 off, including free shipping. So that's HelloFresh.com/80Mighty and use code 80Mighty to get $80 off, including free shipping. 80Mighty. HelloFresh.com/80Mighty. Another episode of I Miss Movies Month is just talking about the movie Cable Guy. And in that episode, I talk about this phenomenon where like 8 of the most important movies in my brain can probably be tracked back to being free on HBO one summer. Mm. And it's like the summer that Cable Guy was on HBO was like, oh, Cable Guy's on. I'll put that on again. It's like, that's how as a kid you have Predator memorized or whatever. You know what I mean? Like just whatever movie lands on HBO and it's like burns in your head and you don't. And that's so some TV programmer who's just burying movies because they have it. Has like affected my personality, and unbeknownst to me. It's an insane thing to start to unpack. Where it's like
the cult of Clue is all about HBO. It's all people who were 8 years old when it started airing on HBO constantly, and they would tune in and think it was sort of sophisticated and adult, but also based on a game that they know how to play. And yeah, total dud in theaters. But you know that's you're right. Whoever at HBO picked it up for a song from Paramount, molded an entire generation and created.
Like by
hit.
Accident. And I remember distinctly like, HBO is free for a week or a weekend. It was always like promotions like that to try to get you hooked. And somehow, you know, my parents would know. And I'd be like, oh, I'm going to watch HBO all weekend. And be like, oh, I guess that means I'm watching Clue 3 times. Back then it's any port in the storm. It's like, I'm either watching a movie or I got to like do homework or play outside or chores. So it's fucking movies, dude. I'll watch this movie again. I'll memorize Holy Grail. I don't give a shit.
I would choose, like, I was big in the babysitting circuit. As you can imagine, I look like a babysitter. And
big babysitter energy from
big
Drea.
Big babysitter energy. Big time. And we were a basic cable family. So you know that I was very cognizant of which families I was babysitting for had a more significant cable package. Because if you had, like, your HBO or, like, some... like Skinemax, if you had something sexy, I was definitely available Saturday evening for you.
Yeah. I've been putting the kid to sleep at like 6:30 p.m. I'm like, all right, it's bedtime. It's like, huh? It's like, we just ate. I'm like, bring your dessert with you into bed.
Pajama party's on.
Yeah, Jade is on at 7:45.
Well, that's kind of what I'm...
I'm gonna switch the vision to the we're keeping it pretty R-rated here.
Sorry,
the movies.
I did that
by accident. The hot movies that were on HBO 2 are burned into my head, like Jade. Like, that's a movie that
Sliver.
These movies like affected my sexuality, my sexual awakening, and they were just some movie that happened to be on all the time. And Jade is fucking, they're twisted. They're always twisted, and they have the worst gender politics. Every movie I grew up watching is like, beat this woman till she loves you. And it's like, oh.
Yeah. Well, that's like, what I was saying is like, that's what's so different about the generation now. Like that TikTok that's going viral because it was like, these three generations, and like this person born in the 60s knew all these oldies and all the kids didn't know. And it's like, yeah, because their parents can't force them to listen to their bullshit anymore. Like, we have Spotify and we can listen to what we want. Like, I think there's this disconnect that like we have all this like dated, you know, media knowledge because we wanted it, not because it was forced on us, because that's all we could see.
Yeah, it's like one television.
Yeah, my parents listen to oldies because they listen to the music their parents listen to. I listen to classic rock growing up because I listen to the music my dad listened to. Like, it's hard not to when you have a radio or car. Headphones. Yeah, no iPhone.
I grew up watching Gilligan's Island reruns because we didn't have cable until I was a senior in high school.
Yeah, you just had no choice. Like, especially before like MP3s and burn CDs. Like, you that means you had to have purchased that song, and knowing how cheap my parents are, there was no, the only time I had a selection was when my dad, what was that scam CD place?
Columbia House.
Yes. Where they thought for some reason people would buy from them after giving them all those free music. Like, they were the first movie pass.
For people who maybe are, I'm realizing that this is going to be the first time I say this. For people who might be too young to not know what Iffy's talking about, which is heartbreaking to me, but Columbia House used to be a thing where you could get 8 tapes, and I guess eventually CDs, 8 tapes for a penny, as long as you promised to buy like 3 more tapes a year for 3 years, or a tape a month for some stupid thing. But everyone, you could just cancel, or a lot of my friends had to have their parents cancel because they all just signed up with their parents' credit card, got 8 tapes, and their parents are like, what the fuck is this? And it's like, okay.
Oh, I'm taking after school classes at Columbia House.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I got the Space Jam soundtrack from Columbia House. That was like the first taste of my own music. But outside of that, my dad was like this weird Nigerian dude who listened to monk chant in like Enya. So like that was my music influence until my dad remarried. And I remember, I'll never forget this. This moment is burned in my head. We're sitting in the car as me and my like stepbrothers and sisters. And then my brother was like, turn on some music. And I like popped open Enya tape and popped it in. And he was like, yo, what the fuck?
And you're like, this is the music of
This is a bop. What are you talking about?
I'm imagining Iffy reaching out to his dad with Enigma. You know, it's Gregorian chants, but there's a beat too.
Oh yeah.
And he's living on that Orinoco flow, just living his best life.
But yeah, I'm kind of speaking of like movies seen over and over. Last year was the first inaugural year of Carol Fest 2019. I looked it up in my emails that I sent out, where we watched like every iteration of A Christmas Carol, or everyone that we just had a time to sit through. I think we did The Muppets. We did Scrooge.
Maybe the best one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scrooge is my favorite, but Muppets is maybe the best one, I think.
What was that new one that came out on FX? We watched that one and it was real bad. Yeah, it was.
Even I can't remember myself.
It sounds like Ryan Murphy produced it, and it stars like a bunch of handsome white
No.
It stars worse. Finn Wittrock.
No. This was like Tom Hardy and Ridley Scott did it, yeah. And it's like it's the weird child slavery Christmas Carol that's like yeah. super creepy.
Tom yeah, Hardy yeah. and There's... Ridley Scott would get me to watch almost anything.
Oh. Well, I try whatever that Tom Hardy show was on FX. I was super excited about because it yeah. had Tom Hardy in it.
Tom Hardy and, had a show on FX.
Yes, and I never even watched it, and I'm like gay for a day for him.
Well. I'm literally gay for Tom Hardy. And by the end of it, I was like, can this be done?
But I think I'm going to just try and do it online. It was December 21st last year. But then I'm like, okay, how well have y'all done any Zoom watch parties lately? Because I've done
yeah.
some. And sometimes I luckily have good internet, but sometimes people are like, oh, man. Or like, it's always like funny because like I remember we were watching one of those, the real bad movie with I think it was Mekhi Phifer, and there was like one
oh,
friend
yeah,
who
yeah. the one yeah. that dropped that oh, yeah I forgot oh, what that was called yeah
oh yeah but one of our friends like didn't like have their headphones in, and you have the awkward and everyone's kind of texting each other like, who's gonna tell them to plug in headphones? Because we're friends, we no one feels comfortable being like, yo, you're fucking the movie up.
I now obsession. Have lose your obsession much like every name. Time I hear the name Mekhi Phifer, I get Lose Yourself stuck in
oh,
my
yes,
head.
I know.
I'm not Mekhi Phifer.
Yeah.
The Tom Hardy show was called Taboo, incidentally.
Thank you. Yes. Thank
in
you.
Case anyone is listening and throwing
that's the one where
things.
He fucks his family. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
No, that's different Taboo.
Oh, it wasn't a reboot.
Different franchise.
Different franchise.
That's a different episode of High and Mighty. We're doing Taboo movies.
Why does he look like the Babadook in all these promotional images?
That's his. Okay, now these are all my Grinch. I mean, Tom Hardy's yeah. the Babadook? Not bad. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is. I didn't know it was my Grinch until now.
Now you know. Did you guys have any Christmas movies that your parents like specifically wanted you to watch that like either was significant to them or they thought you would really like, or like, do you know, because like, there's a handful of movies I remember my parents over when I was young, like being like, we should watch this. Let's watch this movie. Did you guys have anything like that for Christmas?
I had kind of the opposite in that, like, there was a lot of movies that for a lot of people were their Christmas go-to films growing up that we never watched, that I didn't see until I was an adult. Like, I never saw Miracle on 34th Street until I was an adult. I never saw White Christmas until I was an adult. Like, my parents were just not down for that. We watched It's a Wonderful Life always because, again, it was always on television. And then this is pretty obscure, but they were big fans of a 50s comedy with Humphrey Bogart called We're No Angels. Where Bogart and Peter Ustinov and Aldo Ray play like three escapees from Devil's Island, but instead
is that Michael
actually,
Curtiz?
It is Michael Curtiz. He made it right after White Christmas, and instead
well,
of
there was a remake of it. That's why I know the name.
Yes,
right?
With yes. De Niro and Sean Penn. Yes, that David Mamet wrote. Different movie. This one, they're three escapees from Devil's Island, and instead of actually escaping, they hang around and help this family out at Christmas time. It's charming.
That director also did, like he did White Christmas, he did Casablanca. Like,
he did indeed.
So that's the only yeah. reason.
A little bit of a pedigree.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of a resume.
A skosh.
He also has a really crazily wide-ranging pedigree. Like,
yes.
he did not have, like, a niche. He was like, yeah. I he like was, all films, so I'm going to make every kind of film.
He was a hired hand. Like, I mean, yeah. he was an artist, but the studio would be like, go make this horror movie. Okay, yeah, sure, no problem. Okay, go make this comedy about the convicts and Devil's Island. Oh, yeah, you got it, no problem.
Yeah.
I got to keep working because my, you know, heroin syrup habit is through the roof or whatever it was back then.
Like, I definitely, going back, I love if he's, like Scrooge, that's not the theme, but the Christmas Carol theme. Yeah. It's Christmas Carol, as you know, is still my favorite. That's an actual movie, Gabriel, that Alonzo told me about, starring Carrie Fisher.
As all the ghosts.
It's called It's Christmas Carol, and that is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Not to be confused with A Carol Christmas, in which the Scrooge part is played by Tori Spelling.
No, no. Shut it down.
We had the rights to Christmas Carol. If we move the punctuation around, we could do whatever we want. Does anyone have anything for a semicolon?
Yeah.
Oh, that baby is public domain. That's why there's a gajillion versions. Yes, yes.
I do have such a soft spot always for Scrooged because, again, and we rewatched it. I think we talked about it on Who Shot You. Mm-hmm. And it was as funny as I remembered. There were so many actors and moments in it that I was like, Carol Kane, are you kidding me? Like, there's just so much stuff in there. But there's always, because that's one that I saw really young, when I think of Scrooged, it's a little scary. Oh, for sure. It was scarier than I expected. But I remember them talking about stapling the antlers onto the mice.
Yes.
And then there's something with bare boobs. I don't think we see bare boobs, but they're like talking about like the Rockette dancers or something. Anyway, I just remember feeling like it was such an adult movie.
The Solid Gold Dancers.
That's right. So whenever I saw it, I was young enough that I was like, ooh, this is spicy. This is like an adult movie. And when I rewatched it, I was like, oh, this is not an adult movie. This is amazing nonsense.
I think Scrooged and Christmas Vacation, like you said, Dre, were the two movies that my parents didn't like say like these. Those were movies we watched together, and maybe we just caught them as they came out together, but we repeated them every year. That was like a big Scrooge was one of our favorites. Like, and Carol Kane is awesome. I remember seeing the music video for Hot, Hot, Hot.
Buster Poindexter.
And me going, isn't that the cab driver from Scrooged? And someone being like, huh? And I'm like, this cab driver from Scrooged is hot, hot, hot guy?
And then I saw the New York Dolls play.
I was just going to say
that my 20-something self learned about the New York Dolls. And then that retroactively put another thing in the middle where it's like, he's the cab driver in the New York Dolls. And he's fucking hot, hot, hot. This is what? Talk about a resume that's all over the place.
His ghost terrified me. I don't know if it was the guy, he had a manic energy and like a cigar and the cab. And no.
Yeah, it was. And reminded me of the, what's his name? Donald Logue, MTV cab driver.
Oh, yeah. Ted? Wait, what was his name? It was so good. That was a great, weird. I'm talking about a freaking commercial series. That was great stuff.
If we're going to talk about our favorite Christmas carols, I have to throw in a defense for the 1970 musical Scrooge with Albert Finney, which turns 50 this year. And I think it's really charming. Like, that movie at the time didn't set the world on fire because it came 2 years after Oliver. And they literally hired like the same cinematographer and the same art director. It's like, we're doing this again, but Christmas, you know? And so I think audiences are like, they fooled me once, Oliver. But, you know, but now if you can take it out of that context, it's like, oh, no, it's actually really cool. And
what was that one called? I want to make sure.
Scrooge.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Without
Albert
the D.
Finney was Daddy Warbucks for other people looking for other Albert Finney things. He was the grown.
He's Aaron Brockovich's boss.
Aaron Brockovich, grown Ewan McGregor in Big Fish.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's so good. He's so good as the boss in Aaron Brockovich.
Oh, yeah. Albert Finney's amazing.
Low key, Thomas Jane's got a weird... Oh, no, Aaron Eckhart. Aaron Eckhart's got a weird role in Aaron Brockovich. You don't realize it's him.
Some of us very much did and very much got on the train. That him as a biker?
Yeah, rewatching it recently, because funny, you mentioned, Alonzo, when the pandemic started, you saw that holiday movies uptick and you felt that too. For me, my comfort movies have always been journalism and legal thrillers where the small guy gets a comeuppance on some sort of systemic problem. Those shit has always hit me so hard. And so in the beginning, when I was feeling down, I started powering through these movies and I rewatched Brockovich and I was at all these movies. This is how much those movies are comfort movies to me. The other night I was feeling down and I considered watching Spotlight.
I was just going to say Spotlight.
This is probably what I need right now to cheer me up is a movie about this systematic molestation of parish. Oops.
And journalists taking it down.
Amazing. I can't stop making this face thinking of that.
I just watched the gajillion 3 edit that Francis Coppola did for Godfather 3, and you know that movie's all about like the Vatican Bank, and you know the was Pope John Paul I murdered and stuff. And it's like, and I was thinking, you know, I think in 1990 the idea of like the Catholic Church being part of this like mob thriller seemed controversial. Over now it's like, yeah, that's Gans.
Yeah. La Cosa Nostra. Fuck that. I'm more scared of priests than I am of a mafioso. Mafia has a code.
Oh my god.
Speaking as an Italian Roman Catholic, I feel comfortable making fun of all parties involved. Then. Maybe this is the only Venn diagram of things I'm allowed to make fun of. Keep that in mind as I go forward.
That and victimone.
Oh yeah. what about Christmas adjacent movies that aren't necessarily holiday movies? Like we're talking, a lot of people use Die Hard. A lot of Shane Black movies for those reasons too. Mm-hmm. Of like Iron Man 3,
right.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Lethal Weapon 2,
Long Kiss Goodnight.
Long Kiss Goodnight. Oh. Yeah. Oh, so good. Long Kiss Goodnight. It's a very fun Christmas
movie. I love that
movie
so much.
It's so, we rewatched it for Action Boys recently. It's even crazier than I ever remembered, and I always remembered it being crazy. And then you watch
maybe,
it, and you're
maybe
like,
I was
oh,
a
yeah,
chef.
No, it's fucking crazy.
It's so good when she's, yeah, she gets her knife skills back, and she's like, look, I must have
thrown that tomato
chef.
At me. Throw that pepper at me, husband, who's slowly panicking.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Are there other movies that fit that category for you guys? I find Gremlins kind of fits that category too. Gremlins is always a fun holiday watch. Jingle All the Way is pretty on the nose Christmas.
Jingle All the Way, is that
Sinbad, baby? That's my man.
Turbo
Sinbad
Man
and Arnold
Schwarzenegger.
That was filmed in Minneapolis. That was filmed in St. Paul or Minneapolis. And it was a very big deal. It's not a hotbed for production. So like that and Grumpy Old Men. Like those were filmed in Minnesota. And you will hear about it every time you go to somewhere they shot.
I swear, when I was a kid, I learned the phrase taking the skin bus to Tuna Town from Grumpy Old Men when I was too young to really know what it was, but definitely said it way too many times.
not knowing
at all what it meant. I was just a kid being like, taking the skin bus to Tuna Town because it like, made people laugh and stuff. And you'd be like, I don't know what it means, but it works all the time.
Burgess Meredith warping our nation's youth.
Was it Burgess Meredith that said
I think.
That? Oh. Oh, my God.
I mean, like for Christmas adjacent, obviously Batman Returns, I think, falls in that category.
That's a fucking great one. Yeah. Yes. Like that. Gothic Art Deco Christmas stuff, too.
You know, Metropolitan is totally shot in New York at Christmas time. Eyes Wide Shut, as Iffy mentioned, totally a Christmas movie.
Yeah, Iffy, I meant to ask, is that your Christmas movie you watch every year now? Because you kind of maybe showed your hand a little there.
Look, I bounce Fidelio. Around. Yeah, I bounce around. I like truly go on the like whatever is suggested on Netflix. You know how Netflix would be like holiday movies, and I'll be like, all right, but definitely. One thing I like to hit is like one like hyper low budget black movie that I know is not gonna be like that great but will make me laugh and then like like
I love those movies with big casts that they're just all there to collect a paycheck and out of there
and
where it's like there's a boom mic in the shot and there's like the PAs in the background. It's like, and it's just all these names, you're like, Morris Chestnut's doing another movie.
I can also see the cover of that because it's like all pictures taken separately because they certainly didn't bring them.
Yes, it's like a photo album. It's some device to get all of their headshots in
frames
one, like,
on a wall.
Frames on a wall is a good one. It's like
Friday After Next is a Christmas movie.
Yes, yes, and it is so good. Yes,
yeah. Fuck yes.
I'll say recently my favorite adjacent one is Tangerine. The Sean Baker film.
Yes.
It's set here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. It has like. Super, especially if you've spent a Christmas in Los Angeles, there's this weird thing of that the streets seem kind of empty in it. Yeah. I don't know. And it's just like, I love that film anyway. It has all this urgency and emotion. It's so smart, but it's such a like, oh yeah, Christmas for everyone is not always being able to gather with a bunch of people who love them and are excited to see them.
Well, this year it is. This year, Christmas for Everyone is staying alone.
Yeah.
Well, I know. This is the first year we're staying in LA for Christmas. We've wanted to do it forever, but the reason I've always wanted to do it was to get dinner reservations at places and to get to the drive to the Arclight with no traffic and eat in Santa Monica. You know, I wanted to do all this LA.
Yeah, you wanted to walk around and breathe in people's faces. Like, that's what we were real excited to do.
I want to go set up mistletoe down on the promenade and kiss strangers.
Yeah.
Now I can't do any of the shit I wanted to do. It feels weird. I'm like, oh, dude, someday I'll be here for Christmas and we'll be able to get to the arc light and not have to, and parking and seats.
I'm going
to
lick all the doorknobs.
Share a straw with the person sitting next to me in the movies, whether they want to or not. God damn. And now look at us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, no, it's really rough for me because as an LA native, this is always my favorite time of year because everyone's gone, freeway's clear. I remember there was last year, me and some other dad was racing down the 134 because it was so clear. It was beautiful. And now everyone's going to be here and diet miserable. So it's not even you know.
I'm fucking cabin fevered.
A good LA Christmas movie is less than zero.
Ooh.
Not a great movie, but a good LA Christmas movie.
In it?
Yeah.
Snow? That's what they call cocaine.
I'll tell you, it is now. You can now. I'm going to pretend that joke never happened.
That's such a good one. I'm going to say it again.
You can now buy.
Well, let the listeners choose if they want to pretend that happened or not. We'll leave it to you, the shitheads.
You guys, because there's not snow in LA, but there is cocaine.
There's snow in the movie. Explaining a joke always makes it better. Yes,
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Neither have I.
The thing about it is, nowadays you can buy bags of green and red M&Ms, and they just come that way for the holidays. But at the time of that movie, you couldn't. And so when they had big bowls of green and red M&Ms out, I was like, oh, well done, art department.
PA. That's you enjoyed your $80.
Exactly. That's the kind of thing. Beverly Hills assholes would have somebody on staff to do that for them, you know.
It's very relatable for an LA person. That's very funny.
I'm impressed that that's where your eye went. You're like, oh, let me take in the visual feast of this film. Did you see the snack situation?
Look, somebody at the M&M Mars company saw that because they clearly were on all right, memo, next Christmas, red and green bags. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. You truly love to see it.
And it's Robert Downey Jr. in that period of his career where he was not a practicing addict anymore, but he could bring that energy to a character. It's
wait,
great
an
work.
Addict of what?
You name it.
Snow.
Snow? what they call cocaine. Oh, okay, cool.
And that's we're back, listeners. Again, that is up to you. If you didn't hear the first joke because you chose not to, the callback might be hitting different, but we'll see. Choose to listen to the callback. It's up to you again. Choose your own adventure, listeners.
People don't know that the song in White Christmas that Irving Berlin was really talking about cocaine. And
Now we're talking.
Something you dream of.
I'll wash my hair in snow. What?
We didn't say Home Alone.
As
80s kids, we should have been able to say Home Alone.
Hold on. I have a Home Alone story. So, this was my first, foray into comedy. Much in the same way you were saying something about your meat and tuna slits or something weird like that.
Something like that.
I retold the situation where it's Catherine O'Hara, right? Does the like the face smack and then faint thing. And I told my mom that and she laughed and I was like, oh, this is funny. And so I went over to my aunt and did it again. And my aunt was not going to feed me lies. She's like, oh, okay. And
do you mean when Macaulay Culkin does the face
smack? Yeah, Macaulay Culkin. Okay. He does the,
Yeah.
They match the action though, because she screams too, right?
Yeah.
If I remember,
that was my first taste of cinema. You know, that's a callback
and of heckling apparently.
It was my first foray into learning that you need original material and to keep updating it. Turns out jokes get old fast.
Yeah, way fast. I was not ready with how fast that joke got old.
Apparently, Chris Columbus was supposed to direct Christmas Vacation, and imagine he and Chevy Chase didn't get along. And he wound up getting replaced, and John Hughes, who wrote both movies, was like, oh, I got this other thing you can do, and he directed Home Alone instead. And I was like, nice. Oh, well, it's a win-win then.
Yeah. That's a wonderful fucking alternate path there.
I can direct one of the most lucrative movies ever made and not have to make a film with Chevy Chase.
Right. Yeah. Win-win. There, did you see someone, it went viral last week that somebody decorated their house like Home Alone? So there's a mannequin of Kevin on the roof dropping a paint can onto two mannequins that look like Harry and Marv.
The Wet Bandits.
And then it even has the rotating.
Which is mine and Iffy's name. My yes. Iffy's tag team.
Wet Bandits coming at you again. Yeah.
Well, and don't forget Home Alone 2, they're the Sticky Bandits. Both names work for me and Iffy are going to use them for.
That was such a funny bit of them wanting this catchphrase. It was
yes.
Good. Yeah, they had to have a calling card. That was their whole thing.
The thing I didn't pick up when I was a kid that I did catch when I rewatched it as a more a human who's capable of paying better attention was when the cops are like, yeah, and it makes it pretty easy to track which houses they robbed because it's all the ones with the flooded sinks. And it's like they accidentally showed they couldn't deny any of them either. And it was so funny that his plan ended up doubly fucking them up in the long run. Yeah. And that shit just was lost on me as a kid. And hearing it as an adult, I'm like, of course, yeah, that is so fucking dumb in hindsight. It's an extra layer of evidence.
It's like those criminals who couldn't stop themselves from giving Batman all the clues.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yes, or anyone who ever went up against James Bond and was like, oh, I'm definitely not going to just kill you.
Yeah.
I'm going to explain
I'm
going to
sit there and watch you die. I'm going to step out and I'm going
to... And then this shark is going to take care of the rest of it, probably.
But here's a PowerPoint presentation about my plan.
Europe. Yeah, I'm going to drop a nuke on Europe, but first, a TED Talk. take your time. I'm slowly sawing the ropes behind my back against the chair. I should be out just in time to stop you.
There's a Christmas 007 movie.
I was just going to say, His Majesty's
Secret, Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
Honor Majesty's Secret Service. Oh. My favorite Bond film.
Mine too.
That's
the only Lazenby one.
Yeah.
It's the only Lazenby one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's a lot of people's favorites too, I feel
It's the most romantic Bond. Yeah.
I never really watched the Bonds growing up, and so I've been watching them now in the last couple of months, going from newest to oldest. I'm watching Daniel Craig Bonds. I watched them all. Now I'm going to watch Pierce Brosnan Bonds in order and keep jumping back like that.
That's going to be a tricky transition.
I don't know why.
By the time you get to Lazenby, he's like, okay, sure, fine, whatever.
I think it all stems from when I was on election day, I ate 100 milligram weed brownie and then watched all four Daniel Craig Bond movies back to back to back. Hard for 12 hours. I don't know why I said that last part.
Yeah, you're usually so filtered.
Alonzo's met me twice and is on sorted it out.
Yeah, that would be true. But I do recommend, if you are not a Bond fan, On Her Majesty's Secret Service is fantastic.
Yeah, Diana Rigg, best Bond girl for sure.
Oh, I love her. Yeah, of course. So who doesn't?
What? Denise Richards was a Bond girl, sir.
Christmas Jones. That's true.
Dr. Christmas Jones. Thank you very much.
The nuclear physicist who takes off her coveralls takes off her hazmat suit to have a midriff A-frame tank top and short shorts on underneath, like a scientist might.
The first examples I saw of my dad being just finding something super funny was we watched that movie together and he laughed so hard at the Dr. Christmas Jones reveal, the name, the reveal, all of it was just much. The most
what about the closing pun?
Yeah, it's a little hat on hat.
Do you want to? What is the closing pun?
I thought Christmas only comes once a year.
Thank you. Yes. Yes,
and that
indeed.
Was like, and they like delay that pun because she's like, I've heard them all already. And he was like, okay. And then save it for the whole movie and then hit you with that at the end.
Oh my God. Dr. Gee, Christmas thanks. Jones. It's so good.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty and talking holiday movies.
Our pleasure.
Before we get to plugs, and they could be something we discussed, but just one thing I'm throwing out at the end of this. I should have probably texted you guys this before you got on, but a movie recommendation of something you recently watched or a holiday movie or anything you just want to put a spotlight on, because I've been finding using other people's podcasts as a movie cue for myself, because I'm even having diner menu issues with just choosing what movies to watch, and I'm wasting like 20 minutes. So like you guys mentioning Her Majesty's Secret Service is like, great, I know what movie I'm watching next time I want to get high and kill 2.5 hours. So if you have any recos for Christmas movies, movies you watched recently, a classic that you love, it could just be Infinity War, I don't give a shit, just something to kick off some inspiration.
I'll go first. I tend to have these at my fingertips. a movie that I recently discussed with Drea and her cohorts at the Ticklish Business podcast.
So good.
The 1940 comedy Remember the Night, starring Barbara Stanwyck and Fred McMurray. We tend to think of them as the people who did very terrible things in Double Indemnity, but in this movie, they're quite lovely. He's a DA. She's a shoplifter. He wants to get her out of jail for the holidays, so he takes her home to Ohio. Where she meets his lovely and supportive family, and he gets an idea of, you know, how things might have turned out differently for her if she'd actually been raised by somebody who gave a shit. And it's the last movie written by Preston Sturges that he didn't direct. It is streaming on Peacock, and it's kind of gone under the radar for a long time. It's only recently sort of like developing a cult. So if you've never seen Remember the Night, it's really terrific.
Hell yeah. I can go next.
Okay, go.
And not sure, because again, I'm going to do what I do best as a host. I'm going to set the bar so low for movie recommendations. So don't. You can
so
feel...
you're taking my job from Who Shot You?
Hey, if it's a race to the bottom, I got bad news, Ify. I'm always going to win. and mine will be, I just recently rewatched it, and it was one of those movies where you want to show your partner and they just can't get into it the way you got into it, and it breaks your heart a little. So hopefully I can give this to some other people. And if you haven't seen Zemeckis' Contact, it's a very feel-good movie. It doesn't fit my exact paradigm, but it does feature an underdog who's not believed in a science world and who then discovers something. And it is corny and cheesy, but I cry every time someone says they should have sent a poet. And I highly recommend you guys, if you haven't seen Contact, check it out.
Contact?
Told you. I got you.
No, Contact is wonderful. And also, I'm obsessed with everything related to Drag Race, to RuPaul's Drag Race. And Trixie Mattel and Katya are two drag queens who had the show. And they had an ongoing bit about Contact on their YouTube show for years. And so now, weirdly, when I think of Contact, I think of drag queens. So it's really, it's like a bonus for me.
I thought you were going to say, like, somebody did Jodie Foster in Contact for, you know, Snatch Game on Drag Race. I'm like, I got to see that.
You're like, that is a like, very what? Specific impression. Yeah.
Right.
go ahead, if you... Okay.
Well, I'm going to follow up with a movie that I rewatched recently. I've mentioned it many times on Who Shot Ya. It really was my first foray into cinema and really blew me away. And then I watched it again, and it's still touching the feels. You know, it's popped up. A lot of movies have popped up on the Netflix movie queues in their new award-nominated section. Sunshine of a Spotless Mind, my man Charlie Kay coming in. Hit it, and I was like, the manic pixie like dream girl trope is really like it comes through very hard, even in retrospect, but still hits me in the feels and just I think once like it's just one of those. What he does best is like those concepts that are just fun to think about. Like if you could erase everything you knew about your ex, like
right
would you, and would that in turn make you end up back together? It's such a romantic idea, and I had
and
a good
pertinent
time with
to it. Listeners of this podcast features a ride on the Long Island Railroad.
My god. I thought you were going to say a ride on Jim Carrey and bring it back to the Grinch thing.
I will say again, in my my loose heterosexuality here, Mark Ruffalo in those glasses and tidy white pants bouncing on the bed. Well, when I was a kid, I saw that when I was like 18. I was like, oh, okay, so men are attractive. I can see.
Well, that was what was interesting rewatching it, because like when I first watched it, I really wasn't watching that many movies, and then realizing like I knew Kirsten Dunst because I was like, oh, that's the lady from Spider-Man. But seeing Mark Ruffalo, I was like, oh, this is Mark Ruffalo when he was back in his bag. I was like, okay, I see you saucing up over there.
Yeah, you look good, man.
Oh, but yes. The arc with Frodo.
Elijah Wood,
who lives in my neighborhood, who I don't know if I brought this up before, but like right as the pandemic was starting, he was going to the pizza spot, Talent's Pizza, and I saw him and we made eye contacts, and he gave me a look that screamed, bro, I know you're a nerd. Please don't bring up Lord of the Rings. I just want to grab my pizza and go home. And I was like,
what made him think that the 6'3" bodybuilder in a Goku costume picking up pizza might be a nerd?
Yeah.
Michael Sheen gave me that same look at Comic-Con once.
Elijah Wood used to live in my neighborhood in Brooklyn, and I would see him on the F train every once in a while. And I'm no exaggeration, if you looked across from the train from him and looked in his eyes, you could understand like how he ends up being Hollywood. His eyes are that fucking crazy and beautiful. It was insane to see him. He's so little, and he is more like Gollum than any of the other actual characters. He's so little. He's so eye focused, and he's beautiful.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful Gollum.
He's very talented. Very talented.
Yes.
But yeah, his character in that movie, because when I saw it, I think I was like about 18 too. So like, I didn't realize how gross his character was until this time. Like last time I was like, okay, yeah, he's trying to get it. But now I'm like, oh, that's gross.
I gotta rewatch this. I gotta get freshened up on this. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Watching it with like emotionally mature eyes, it really does make you like, you're like, oh.
Before we get to Dre again, sorry, I keep jumping on everything, but I'm rewatching The Sopranos for the first time since I saw it when it aired. And my entire talking about being an adult and rewatching something, I'm like, I'm in love with Carmella. All I care about is Carmella. When I was a kid, I was like, I just want the guys in the strip club talking. And now I'm like, Tony, get home to Carmella. What are you doing fucking around? Like, I'm like so in love. Like, I've just completely, and it's like 20 years later, I have a completely different opinion.
My spec house.
No, it's funny that you're doing that because we're on the same wavelength, except I'm watching a less critically acclaimed show than you. I'm rewatching Dexter because I was into Dexter. And at first I was like, oh, how did I get into it? But Dexter is weird in the sense that the first season actually improves by the end. Like, it starts off pretty rough, but by the end of the first season, you're like, okay, I get how this is a hit.
And that Lithgow season is one of the best seasons.
That's the one I'm so hyped because I'm like, oh, John Lithgow. Plus, I haven't seen that man. What's the last thing he's done, y'all?
He played Churchill.
On the Crown.
That screener movie I threw.
Oh. Yeah.
He is the voice of Progresso Soup. Thank you very much.
That's where I know him from listening to all those Progresso commercials.
And the Christmas adjacent Daddy's Home 2.
I'm gonna have to see.
John Lithgow's done so much great stuff.
I mean, he had me ever since Third Rock from the Sun. He locked me
he's
in.
He's had me like, since Raising Kane. He's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Well, he gives the one bad performance of his career is just to keep a theme here in Santa Claus the Movie.
Gotta see it.
Bonkers.
Oh man.
I just watched Buckaroo Banzai
and he's fucking wild.
Fun fact, John Lithgow was college roommates with my friend David Anson, and they're still very good friends.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's fun.
Yes. That's right. Do I have juicy tidbits on Hollywood heartthrob John Lithgow? I do. Thank you.
Honestly, if there is a place to share it, this is one of like the six. So
Okay, so mine, I already shouted out Christmas in Connecticut, and I do recommend, it's another Barbara Stanwyck film who also starred in Alonzo's, so I'm going to balance out so you have some, I get some credibility, because what I'm going to recommend is a Christmas rom-com I'm obsessed with. It is called Holidays in Handcuffs. It stars Melissa Joan Hart and Mario Lopez. Marky Post plays her mother. And here's what I need you to do. I need you to watch it, because that's the best thing to do with movies. But also know, I am convinced that I could remake Hollywood in Handcuffs, just change the name. I could keep all of the dialogue. I could keep most of the performances. If I changed the title and the soundtrack, it would be the creepiest, eerie indie film. I would get accolades for days. I could put all of those awards next to the Nobel Prize I'm going to win. It's like many of these, Melissa Joan Hart's frazzled because her boyfriend breaks up with her and she's supposed to bring a boy home for Christmas. What will her family think? Because all white people's families are apparently the worst. And so she, at gunpoint, hijacks and handcuffs Mario Lopez inside her car at gunpoint, brings him to her family's isolated cabin, runs inside, tells her family, oh, we just play a game where he pretends that I've kidnapped him. And they're like, oh, okay. And then he's so like isolated, like literally blizzarded in and whatever. And then, of course, you guys, fully Stockholm Syndrome, falls in love with her. It is amazing. And I'm truly.
That shit I talked about earlier, like 3 Days of the Condor, where it's like, that's not the good gender politics. And it's no. This is the flip of the.
Also a Christmas adjacent movie, 3 Days of the Condor.
Oh, yes.
Oh, funny.
Oh, and it came to me before, but I forgot to say it. Ghostbusters 2. Got a little holiday spirit there. Yeah.
Well, look, Drea, if James Franco can remake Mother May I Sleep with Danger, I don't see why you can't redo Holiday in Handcuffs.
That's a very fun idea. I love the idea of like a movie is accidentally 1 degree away from being complete. One of my favorite comedies of all time is Step Brothers. And one time someone pointed out that if you put that movie like 1 degree in a different direction, it's like a really heavy movie about two adult developmentally disabled men struggling with their parents moving on in life, and you're like, oh yeah, I guess it's like
elderly parents that don't know what they are gonna do with children who can't be self-sufficient, happens when I die, who will take care of them.
There was a salon piece a couple years ago who, like, almost all Hallmark movies are so close to being horror movies, especially the ones that are where like an entire town gaslights a woman into thinking she can't leave so that she'll fall in love with the adorable widowed dad judge, and so they keep telling her that her car can't be fixed or whatever. It's very bizarre.
Amazing.
Sorry.
Thank you guys. This is truly, again, a very self-indulgent podcast, and you succeeded wholly. I enjoyed myself, so that's all that matters. Where can people find you? I know you guys all have a podcast together, Who Shot Ya, but I know you're also all out there. We're all freelancers. We're all hired guns. We're all out there fucking chatting. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at the Drea Clark, and I'm hands down the least good at Twitter out of all of us. How's that for
again,
a pitch?
Again, Drea, race to the bottom. I could potentially win. I'm not much better. I was like, I've been shitting blood for all day. People are like, why'd you post this? And I was like, I thought it was
the sense of community.
I'm much more a Twitter lurker than a sharer. But yeah.
Oh, same. And you have something. I almost said like, and you also have a podcast called Tickle Pants. That can't be the name of it.
Yes, gamers, you're good at the pitches. Yes, I also co-host a classic film podcast with two other women, and so it's through not necessarily feminist eyes, though mine certainly are. But
they're women's eyes, at
least. Yes, they're women's eyes, and Alonzo was recently a guest of ours, and it's called Ticklish Business: Deconstructing Hollywood Cinema. It's great fun.
I'm at A Duraldi on Twitter, A-D-U-R-A-L-D-E. And in addition to doing Who Shot You with these lovely folks, I co-host three other podcasts, Linoleum Knife with my husband, Dave White, which is a film review podcast, Breakfast All Day, which is a film review podcast. and a film and a movie where we connect a recent film and a classic film from which it borrows a lot of things. And so those are all
and
fun.
That's a food podcast.
Exactly. And then,
and in that one, we review breakfast foods. I don't know. I got the titles wrong and the URL. I can't fix it now.
Check out our 8-week waffle symposium. It's really important.
It's only 74 hours of material. You should be able to bang it.
But essential stuff. I'm film reviews editor at a website called The Wrap. And as Drea was gracious enough to mention, my book, Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas, about Christmas movies, is available now wherever you get your books.
Iffy.
And you know me, it's your boy, Iffy Wadi Way on Twitter and Instagram. IffD's on Twitch if you like watching people play video games. And then I'm just going to do a secondary plug to check out Alonzo's book. You need it. You're in this now. You're going to want to read it more than ever, but it's a year-round read. And so when you want Christmas in July, pull out the book. You want Christmas, you're one of those people who don't bring your lights down until Mardi Gras, pull out your book all the way until Mardi Gras. Are you right before fall and you can't wait for Christmas? Pull out the book. It's always there for you. Look at the book.
It's a stocking stuffer. It's a white elephant gift that no one will want to give up. It's a Secret Santa present. I'm going to use my time to plug Alonzo's book as well. No! Check it out. I also have other podcasts. That was my, not all my time. It is my, I come back in, delete that. I delete all the plugs. And just like, if he's like, I'm going to put another plug in for Action Boys. Like redubbed like a fucking TBS curse word. If you like listen to this podcast, listen to me talk about movies. I have a movie podcast where me and two buddies review classic action movies from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and we talk about the movies for longer than their runtime. It is truly not for anyone. It's not for everyone. Arguably not for anyone either. It's impenetrable and annoying and long and about a niche topic. But maybe if you're listening to this, it'd be for you. So check it out at actionboys.biz. It's a Patreon, but we have a bunch of free episodes that you can find if you just search around. I have the Gino Lombardo Show now on Stitcher Premium. Season 2 is just wrapped up. Stay tuned for more news about that. But check that out. Promo code Gino for one free month. Present company Iffy appears as a doctor and as a Nigerian restaurateur.
Yes. Oh, yes. So that, quite arguably the longest ad ever.
Yep. Sometimes you do a 4.5-minute improvised commercial because it's too fun. Thank you so much for coming on. Listeners, check out their podcast, their books, their Twitter feeds. I'll tag all their shit in the post about this. And as always, bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.